Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast, hosted by Alan and Andrew of Insured Nomads. Join us as Alan and Andrew interview and explore the community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Tune in to incredible discussions with thought leaders each week that will help you take full advantage of the cross-border remote work lifestyle. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to the New Nomad. We have a really interesting guest today, Chris Penn. Chris is going to check in from somewhere across the country as he is off the grid schooling, which I think is going to be really interesting to talk about, how he's taken this idea of really hitting the road in a very unique fashion. I'm going to bring in my co-host, Andrew Jernigan, who himself has done some traveling. I think it's interesting as we talk to Chris today, you know, during our podcast, we mostly talk to people who are traveling around the world. But we have a lot of folks that want to explore the United States much deeper, and really an interesting concept of packing up and seeing the United States that Chris is going to share with us today.
Well, yeah. Hi, everyone. Great to be here. It is one of those things where the van life, the schoolie life is so popular. Again, it's not that thing of a Volkswagen bus. It's so many forms in every country around the world. And Chris is really pioneering a movement that you need to plug into. I was in my teens in Amsterdam when I decided that the world is my playground and haven't looked back. And now it's, you know, 25, 26 years later. So it's a fun thing to look deeper into his world. I followed him and love what he's doing and empowering others to do. He's a real free spirit in that. This new flavor of free people that we're talking about, Alan, here, this new nomad, whether it's crossing regions of their own country, building their own place to work, live, have community, live in new dynamics, is evolving quickly. It's going back to the 70s. It's going back to the caravan days. It's going back to the camel days of nomad. What's that going to look like? Is it going to be a sprinter that's fully outfitted, or is it going to be a 1970s bus that's changed? Is it going to be an airline? Is it going to be a yacht? I just got a request, I thought, come through earlier this morning of one of our insureds that lives on a yacht. It's saying, hey, can you give us this custom document? And of course, I thought it got sent out. But people are moving around this planet in new forms, and it'll be a SpaceX trip that we talk about next.
Well, you know, you think about the United States too. We have a lot of people that listen to this podcast that are not in the U.S., that would love to see our national parks. They'd like to get off the interstates. They'd like to get a greater idea of this country. And I think Chris is going to share some of that with us. And there's also people who love to do motorcycle tours too. So it's a lot of different folks. So let's bring Chris into the conversation. Chris, a couple of things. First off, where are you at today? And is it Zeppelin 1 through 5, 6, 7? And please share with the group, what got you started, you know, on seeing the country from a 2002 Bluebird school bus that you converted. And by the way, please, people, go online and see how he converted. Just tremendous stuff, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm actually currently visiting family back in Indiana right now. It is morel mushroom season, so I've been going out and hunting morels every day with family. I'm currently in Zeppelin 7. My bus is Zeppelin 2. It's a 40-foot Bluebird school bus, cut in half, raised the roof, basically built it into my, I call it my mobile condo, you know, butcher blocks, stainless appliances. Like, I built it to be my home until I'm not physically able to walk up the steps, you know, like, it's completely off the grid. I love that rig so much. Well, going back into how everything started, basically when I was about to graduate college, I bought a soccer mom van. This is before hashtag van life. I had no idea what I was doing. Put the back little bed that folded down, put that down, put a futon mattress on it, built some very rudimentary cabinets, and just hit the road with my Husky for a couple months. And after that point, I realized I was willing to do whatever it took to make this lifestyle possible. And a bit of a caveat, if you do have, you know, a lot of people doing the expat thing, traveling the US, working remotely, one of the catalysts for that was actually me studying abroad in Australia. And then I studied abroad in Rome. And essentially, you know, I was bouncing around on camper vans from time to time, but I did do a lot of overseas travel throughout my 20s. Like, basically my 20s was just dirtbag traveling with a backpack, just doing whatever I could to travel. But more recently, as I got older, I found a new appreciation for the States. I never really had the desire to travel the States, really. It was something I really wasn't that interested in. But once I started learning about BLM and public land, Bureau of Land Management and public land, and how you could utilize those resources and live cheaply, it was something that I was going full bore on. So I had that first van. I sold that, got a Class B, which I named Zeppelin, which is Zeppelin 1 now, and started bouncing around in that, then got a Class A motorhome and realized that the build quality wasn't too great. And I fell in love with the off-grid lifestyle. And that is when the school bus came about. So in a nutshell, I mean, that's pretty much the genesis story. And I still spend a month or two overseas each year as well. Well, before this lovely pandemic, I had planned on going to Ghana and staying for a month or two, being that my businesses are all online. I'm able to, you know, build a mobile income.
Having lived in Ghana, I perked up there myself. Yeah. I spent about 4 years in Ghana. So.
Oh, really? I'm going to have to pick your brain then. It's definitely on my list.
Yeah. My youngest son was even born there. So tell us, keep going. You're on a roll. Tell us more. This is exciting.
Well, I mean, it really comes down to what you're interested in. I mean, are you like, is your audience more interested in the mobile income side of things? Is it more of like a genesis story, like how I made it work for me personally? Like what would bring the most value to the audience?
You know, we have so many folks looking at it from different perspectives of what is this new nomad? What's your flavor of this life? And it's just that they're opening each chapter of this book saying, okay, for this person, it means moving with their whole family to another place. For this person, it just means working from their laptop from whatever Selena hotel community. Yeah. We haven't had the van life schoolie onto our program, and you quite mastered this, and you're empowering others even to join your team and do this to make a living. Can you delve into that and tell everybody about that?
Understood. Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny you mentioned Selena Hostel, because just took a trip down to Tulum, you know, one of the countries that are actually open. My travel itch was getting really bad. So went down to Tulum and Cancun and stayed in the hostels, did that whole thing. So it was pretty fun. But in terms of, you know, the new nomad, my friends, the people that I know personally, you know, the thing that we do in the van life, schoolie life is essentially just bounced around the US, Canada, Mexico. A lot of people hit up Baja. That's a very common destination for a lot of the, you know, if we're going into the quote rubber tramp side of things, living in camper vans and school buses. It's essentially, and again, this is for my friends and I, we typically stay out of cities. We typically go to the back country. So a typical rotation for me for 5 years was summers up in Alaska, winters down in New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, Nevada, and then just snowbirding, going to all these beautiful BLM spots, having a mobile remote income. You know, just if you have Wi-Fi and a laptop, you're able to work remotely. The lifestyle, once you get your build done, once you get a setup and, you know, no major mechanical issues, is actually a very cost-effective lifestyle. So for me personally, my cost to live in my school bus, being that it is completely off the grid, the systems I have set up in there specifically designed to go out to anywhere and live for a month or two without needing anything. I do tow a car, which makes it easier. But, you know, if it came down to it, I could go out to any desert, any forest and be completely off the grid and not need anything. You know, that's a little bit more of my specialty, where camper vans, obviously with the size and the weight capacity, can't really pull that off. But it's really cheap for me to live this lifestyle, because if I include everything from my food, my diesel, my health insurance, vehicle insurance, Netflix, Funimation, cell phone, like literally everything costs me about $1,000 to live a complete free life. Like I wake up.
You must be eating healthfully then. You're not eating out. You're eating some healthy food then.
Yeah, I eat all organic. I cook a lot of my own food, trying to eat as healthy as possible. And you know, if it came down to it, if I did buy cheaper food, like I could live $500, $600 a month with everything all in easily, you know, but I do, you know, buy some a little bit more expensive food. But I mean, it's just every expense I have is like $1,000 a month, and I'm able to do what I want, when I want. When I wake up, I can do anything I want that day, you know? And it's just, it's crazy that we have these magic little light boxes here where we're able to do, you know, remote work And we're just lucky enough to be born at the right time to, or if you're from the States, again, it sounds like you have an international audience, but here in the States anyways, born on the right piece of dirt to have this infrastructure to where you can buy, like I bought my bus for $3,000 at auction. So I was able to buy this massive commercial vehicle with a Cummins 8.3 and an Allison 3060 transmission, and then just travel around this amazing, like people, you know, might have their pros and cons about the US infrastructure, but just have these roads and these bridges and this public land to utilize, like, just so incredibly lucky. Like, I feel so lucky that I'm able to be doing what I'm doing right now, because 20 years in the past, I wouldn't be able to do this, wouldn't be able to work online. 20 years into the future, who knows how creative, because we're in the social space, which is the genesis of my online money making, and I got in early. So 20 years in the future, who knows what it's going to look like in terms of remote work or starting your own online business. So born in the right spot, born at the right time, and just had the mindset of travel. So I just, like, again, just felt so, I feel so incredibly lucky to be doing this.
So Chris, when you wake up in the morning, what prompts you to either A, head to another location or come off the road for a little while? And of course, the question that goes through a lot of people's minds, how does your mail catch up? And, you know, some of the basics, I'm assuming you have a home office that you return to from time to time, but I know there are people out there thinking, God, I would love to do this, but what is, like, the day-to-day, you know, maintenance? When do I decide to go? Where do I decide to go? And how do I find these wonderful locations to travel to? And it sounds like you zig when others zag too. I would assume that you don't run into some of the national parks at the high season where you'd be stuck with 1,000 tourists. It seems like you find some really unique places. How do you even find those?
Yeah, so I'll start with daily routine. Like, typically I'm up at 5 a.m., meditate, journal, then I work, you know, emails, coordinate the team. But more recently, I started handing things off to my number two and my number three, like basically getting them set up and getting the redundant systems put into the business so they can handle anything and everything at any time. You know, after my meditation, journaling, it's around 5:30, you know, do the emails, look at the strategic goal, see where we're at with everything, you know, respond to brand partners and, you know, try and piece all that together. And then from 9 a.m. on, it's whatever I want to do that day. And like I said, like, typically it's BLM public land. So I go hiking with the dog, go fishing, might watch some inspirational videos, listen to audiobooks. I mean, a lot of times, more recently, I'm on an app called Clubhouse. If you have iPhone, it's about to open to Android. It's an absolutely astounding app. I highly suggest you check that out. But yeah, it's just communicating with people and building the brand and building brand partnerships with bigger and bigger companies, just so we can get that revenue in and continuously invest it back into the business. And that's another benefit of this lifestyle, is my costs are $1,000 a month. I don't need watches. I don't need the Jordans. I do find them at garage sales sometimes.
Yeah, there you go.
that's one of my side hustles as I travel around, just go to garage sales and find Pokemon cards and vintage video game stuff. That's more of just a fun thing.
That's a fun thing. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it really just depends on where I'm at. Typically, if I find a spot I like, I will stay there for a month, month and a half. And depending on the weather, depending on what's close by, depending on what nomad friends are close by, I'll jet over to a new spot or have them come meet me, and, you know, we'll just go from there. But like, if you go on freecampsites.net or campendium.com and you look west of the Mississippi, I think you're going to be astounded by how many free BLM and public land spots are out there. Like, there are
BLM, you're talking Bureau of Land Management, right?
Yeah, I need to
BLM has a couple of meanings. Bureau of Land Management, is it? And that's a federal place where you can camp out for free, right? And you can hike for free. I mean, etc. There's no annual pass required.
I mean, some of them do. I mean, down in Arizona, for example, if you haven't heard of Quartzsite and you're interested in this lifestyle, if it's something that you want to try out, something you want to do, Google Rubber Tramp Rendezvous down in Quartzsite, Arizona. Happens every winter. Thousands and thousands of people drive their RVs down there. The new movie Nomadland, place where she does laundry, the campsite where, like, I've camped in those spots. I know exactly where they're at. I've done laundry there. Like, it really is like a massive community gathering down there in winter. And it's like a hybrid of BLM public land, and again, Bureau of Land Management, to where you pay $180 for 6 months. That includes your water, your trash, and your dump station for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. It's in there's Blythe right across the border with grocery stores and auto parts and Ace Hardware. Yeah, there's spots like that. There's spots up in Montana. Like, again, if you just go to campendium.com or freecampsites.net and just go on that website and start looking around at how many spots are out there in the reviews from people. You know, they talk about the cell phone signal. They talk about the road in. They talk about the noise. So you get like the almost like these Google reviews. Free spots to where you're able to go out there and, you know, live whatever life you want to live out there.
So Chris, what's the name of your business and how have you monetized this lifestyle with duplicating with other people doing what you're doing?
Yeah. So again, like I mentioned, 20 years in the past, 20 years in the future, I started on YouTube early in the game. So I mentioned I sold that first van. I did a quick video to put on Craigslist just so people could actually see what I did because I couldn't really show it in pictures and pointed stuff out. And YouTube was very early in their algorithm, the way they monetize. But that video, for whatever reason, got me the amount of subscribers, the amount of watch time or views to be monetized. So that first month, I made 25 cents, spent about 25 to 30 hours figuring out cameras and editing because I started posting more videos in the van life stuff. And I made 25 cents and I was just absolutely blown away. I was absolutely stoked. I sent text to all my friends, like a picture of the 25 cents I made. And it was just like, it wasn't even like I had any idea it turned into what it is now, but it was just like, I was just so blown away. I could not believe that I was doing something that I loved and put it on the internet and got any money from it.
Sure. Yeah.
You know? And, you know, it took like 4 or 5 years before I started making any money that I could actually travel on, you know, but basically I was doing the YouTube game, just posting videos, making enough for a couple tanks of gas, a couple meals on the road or whatever. Then I read The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss, which I'm sure a lot of your audience knows. And it absolutely changed my life. And I implemented, you know, 2 or 3 key things out of that book. One was hiring freelancers to help free me up, essentially let go of my ego, thinking that I could make videos better than anybody else in my own view, you know, like, and what I mean by that is like, I had a certain way I like to do my videos. I didn't want an editor coming in and doing it. And then the part in the book where he talked about that's nothing but your ego. I was like, holy crap, that is my ego. And the Pareto 80-20 principle, which was the main reason I bifurcated my first channel into Tiny Home Tours, which is the main channel now. And yeah, again, going back to the freelancers, just bringing more and more people on to assist me and bring talented people on, which, you know, turned into now we have 9 mini buses that we're converting into tiny homes to collaborate with different people, to bring talented people on that want to travel, give them a rig. And then they produce X amount of content for their quote rent, which basically covers their commercial insurance, and then getting them on the road and, you know, having them produce content for all our social media. So the main business is basically the YouTube channels. We have 4 of them now. And then more recently, we started a shop in Kansas where we're converting these mini buses and we're working on designs and working with brands and going to start, you know, offering set builds for people or buying buses and building them out because our contractor moves in tomorrow to the shop. So we have the metal fab, we have a carpenter, and we have all the gear in from the brands that we're working with. So it's the same, you know, mindset and goal of getting people on the road. It's just tying it in with the business aspect, if that makes sense.
So 2 questions. If somebody were to want to purchase Zeppelin, call it 11, how much does it cost to actually outfit yourself in that lifestyle? And the second thing, I'm very curious, you've traveled with your Husky. I hope you still have, you mentioned you have your dog with you. How is that also as you travel about? It must be great to have a partner. As a dog person myself, I would, if I did the lifestyle that you described, I'd make sure that I would have my trusty dog, Jack, with me.
Yeah, for sure. So with that Husky, so when I graduated college, it was back at the end of 2009. So it was 2010, and she was 8 when she hit the road. So she unfortunately passed away, but I do have a shepherd, a German shepherd now that joins me on my travels, and I am definitely a dog person. Probably will never have a cat with me on the road, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I mean, having somebody with you when you're going out hiking, like we went morel mushroom hunting yesterday for 5 hours, and he was just right by my side, my uncle's side, as we were out there, and he was just running back and forth. And you know, just having that constant companion with you is amazing. In terms of buying one, we're trying to, I should back up a little bit. We just we did a roof raise on a mini school bus, which is very uncommon. And we're putting a bed platform in the back that raises up. So it'll just add more room. That way we're able to fit a 72-inch kitchen unit, a large shower, and like a living area. And throwing that bed up there is the best way that we found to do it. And the spray foam guy is coming over tomorrow, so we're working forward in that. But what we're trying to figure out is, because we buy our buses used, and the issue with that is you can buy a bus that has 80,000 miles on it and the transmission shifting good, and you can build on it, and then you sell it to somebody, and then 1,000 miles down the road something happens, it looks really bad on you. So what we're trying to figure out now is if we have people buy like the platform we're building on now that we really like is the Ford E450 with the 7.3 Ford diesel.
Diesel. Yep.
What we're thinking about doing is like, hey, you bring a bus to us, you vet it yourself, and we're going to build it out for you, offering that package versus, you know, build them out. But right now the market is just absolutely insane here in the States. Like I bought two buses from a dealer out of Arizona, had 50,000 miles on them. They were gas four window buses, a little bit smaller. I got them for $4,000 each, and that was, you know, a little bit above market, but I know the mechanic and I know that they do good work. And post-pandemic, I would not be able to find that bus at a dealer for anything less than $8,000, and that's not built.
Gotcha.
But I mean, our builds, like if we do end up selling them with the roof raise and everything, it would probably be about a $30,000 job to, sure, to do that. And that's if somebody supplies the bus.
That's awesome. So really, it's a great detail on that. So you've obviously traveled about, and I think our audience would love to hear from you of, you know, is there an overlooked person, place, or experience you would suggest people discover? Because your travels have been far and wide, and, you know, there must be something. I mean, you've already given us a few with the websites and the Bureau of Land Management, et cetera, but something specific that they could search out that you think would really make a difference in their lives.
Yeah, the Alchemist by Pablo Coelho. That book I've read or listened to that, no exaggeration, at least 25 times whenever I'm trying to figure something out, whether I'm in a meditative state and trying to, you know, pick which direction. That book is one that I've never experienced a book that has spoken to me or people that I give it to. Like I've never experienced anything like that. I always keep a copy in my bus in case I meet somebody on the road and they're like going through, like trying to figure something out. I'm like, hey, take this. Let me know what you think. Absolutely love that book. Alaska is one of those things. If you actually go there and stay there for a while and not just do like the touristy, just bouncing around from spot to spot and not be able to really take it in. If you're able to spend a summer up there, Seward is an amazing little town on the Kenai Peninsula. Homer's an amazing little town. If you like hiking, if you like fishing, if you like good food, if you like, especially if you get a camper van or an RV up there, like there's spots where you can just pull over on the side of the road that's absolutely free. Like you don't have to pay. It's just, you know, free camping. When you wake up, it's like a postcard. And that's not an exaggeration. Like it's literally like an Alaskan postcard. I've never been to a place like Alaska, and the only continents I haven't been to yet are Africa and Antarctica. And like I've been bouncing around pretty much nonstop since I was 19, you know, and I still haven't experienced anything like Alaska. So I wouldn't sleep on Alaska.
Oh, cool. Well, this is, you know, my mind is going in so many directions, and I know that people probably have ideas and thoughts they'd like to run by you. They've got a friend that wants to do this, because this is the work from anywhere, the retire and take on a different career totally, join Upwork and figure out how to do their passions, etc. They want to know right now where they can go and find you, how they can get on your mailing list, how they can collaborate with you. Can you tell us on your socials and your domain names, etc.? We'll put it in the show notes, of course. But for those just listening and ready to grab their phone and go there this very second, tell us the way. Go for it.
Yeah. So our main social, I mean, if you want to check out other people's tiny homes, whether it be school buses or camper vans or traditional or tree houses or container homes, Tiny Home Tours, tinyhometours.com, Tiny Home Tours on Instagram. Zeppelin Travels, where we give people rigs. You know, we give videographers, we give freelancers, we give consultants rigs in exchange for working with us. That's Zeppelin Travels, Zeppelin, like Led Zeppelin _ travels on Instagram, zeppelintravels.com. And to see a little bit of the inside of the shop, where we're converting mini buses, or we're taking 40-foot school buses, cutting them in half and raising the roof. That is the Off-Grid Schoolie on Instagram. And to see more about life on the road in a school bus, you know, details about my bus, the configuration, all that good stuff. That's the offgridschoolie.com. And, you know, we didn't talk about this before, but if people want to get a deep dive into, you know, the lessons learned in terms of my life on the road, how I built my school bus, the different mindset tricks, not tricks, but mindset things that I've learned over the years making a mobile income, just email me at, actually, yeah, email, because I can send the link. Because basically I wrote a PDF book. It's like 70 pages about all I've learned and, you know, schematics of my bus. Email me at chris@theoffgridschoolie.com and I will send them that link over if they're interested.
Sounds great, Chris. Fantastic conversation today. I learned a lot. And just as an aside, the only state I have not been to is Alaska. So you've got me doubly excited about going up there, but not just getting off a plane to check it off the list, but to spend some time there.
Yeah. I always suggest people, like, they do have RV rental spots there. There's ABC. And then there's, I can't remember. I mean, it's a simple Google. Sure. There's two big companies there. I always suggest people get the RV, go up to Denali, go down to the Kenai Peninsula, do your RV trip, take it back to Anchorage, and then get the train ride into Whittier. And then, you know, I guess cruising isn't necessarily a thing right now, but I always suggest people, like, you do the road part because it costs about the same as getting hotels up there.
Sure, sure.
And you're able to park on the side of the road, these free spots everywhere. Just go to the Costco, fill up your RV and hit the road. And then on the way down, just sit back and relax on that cruise ship and see the inside passage down through Skagway and Juneau, and then awesome. Get dropped off in Bellingham. So depending on when you listen to this or whatever, that's what I always suggest people to do if you want like a real full experience up in Alaska.
I do. And I'm gonna take you up on those thoughts. Thanks again, Chris. Andrew, what did we learn today? I think we learned a lot. It's a lifestyle that is extremely cool. It's a unique perspective. Your thoughts?
I got several different takeaways because I was hearing beyond what was being said. There's one key thing that he's applied of living frugally, wisely in how you spend your time, your money, your assets. And a lot of our assets are actually mental. So how we steward our mental assets reflect in our values, which come out in how we spend our money. A lot of times we spend our money in massive McMansions, houses, furniture, cars, food, dining, etc. And as we scale back to things that we don't really need in life, and we spend that on relational assets, on ourselves, on our future, instead of tangible things, that really shifts. So you asked me a question. I went kind of deep in my response there, but this has been really good.
I think I'll boil it down to what I take away of kind of what you said, but it's about experiences, not possessions. It's about having a deeper understanding of your world. And to be honest with you, I think that a lot of people are moving to that because there's been such a consumption-based approach as opposed to let's experience, let's see. So fantastic job today. For our listeners out there, please subscribe to the New Nomad podcast and leave a great review. If you'd like to know more, please look at thenewnomad.net or join us at insurednomads.com. Just want to remind you that the New Nomad is not just a podcast. It's a community of people, ideas, and spirit, helping you take advantage of that location-independent lifestyle. And we very much want to thank Chris today. So thank you. And keep adventuring.
Will do. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Thank you, Chris. It's been good.
Thanks for tuning in to the New Nomad Podcast, where we bring together an incredible community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit.
please remember to subscribe and leave a review. For more amazing tips to help you take advantage of the cross-border lifestyle, please visit us at insurednomads.com/podcast. See you next week.